The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. On the Sabbath, Jesus went to dine at the home of one of the leading Pharisees, and the people there were observing him carefully. He told a parable to those who had been invited, noticing how they were choosing the places of honor at the table. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not recline at table in the place of honor. A more distinguished guest than you may have been invited by him, and the host who invited both of you may approach you and say, "Give your place to this man," and then you would proceed with embarrassment to take the lowest place. Rather, when you are invited, go and take the lowest place, so that when the host comes to you, he may say, "My friend, move up to a higher position." Then you will enjoy the esteem of your companions at the table. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Then he said to the host who invited him, "When you hold a lunch or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your neighbors or your relatives or your wealthy neighbors, in case they may invite you back and you have repayment. Rather, when you hold a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. Blessed indeed will you be because of their inability to repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." The Gospel of the Lord. At the beginning of Mass today, I regret that I forgot to introduce to you our deacon, Deacon Orlando Caicedo. He's with us. Last weekend was his first weekend with us, and he's sort of taking a tour of all the Masses in these first few Sundays. And he'll speak a little bit about himself also at the end of Mass. But anyway, we want to welcome you, Deacon. You are welcome here. I am so grateful for the help, too. So thank you. So when I hear all these readings about humility, conduct your affairs with humility, I have to say, for the largest first half of my life, I don't think I really liked that message. Because when I was a kid, I guess, well, I don't know, my generation, there have always been bullies, right? Bullies have always been in the world, but in my generation, the response to that was, well, you need a thicker skin, right? You just need to deal with it and don't let them bother you. And so I have to say that when I hear the word humility or humble, I actually hear more the word humiliation. And so there's that kind of negative color that I have to that particular word. And I don't think it was until I was in the seminary, so 28 years, in the seminary that I actually understood what real humility is. It's a choice. It's a strength. It is a realistic way of looking at yourself so that you can know who you are and how you fit into God's plan. It's not my plan, it's God's plan. And if you don't, if you're constantly knocking up against that kind of idea that this is all supposed to be the way I want it to be, then I don't think you will know humility. But what happened to me in the seminary was my spiritual director at the time introduced me to this litany of humility. It was by a cardinal. His name was Mary Del Valle. He was the first part of the 1900s. He was Secretary of State. He was responsible for the election of St. Pope Pius X. And in his writings, there is this litany of humility, which sort of was when the light came on for me, the light turned on. O Jesus, meek and humble of heart, hear me. From the desire of being esteemed, deliver me. From the desire of being loved, deliver me, Jesus. From the desire of being extolled, deliver me. From the desire of being honored, deliver me. And it goes on for quite a while. From the desire of being praised, preferred, consulted, approved, deliver me, Jesus. And then there's another section. From the fear of being humiliated, deliver me. from the fear of being despised, deliver me. From the fear of suffering rebukes, of being calumniated, of being forgotten, of being ridiculed, of being wronged, of being suspected. Deliver me, Jesus. And this is where it gets really intense for me. That others may be loved more than I, Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That others may be esteemed more than I, Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That in the opinion of the world, others may increase and I may decrease, Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That others may be chosen and I set aside, that others may be praised and I unnoticed, that others may be preferred to me in everything, Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. And finally, he says, that others may become holier than I, provided that I may become as holy as I should. Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. Do you see, it's a choice. It's a power. It's an active intentionality that you have with your life to be everything that God wants you to be, but not to be what you want you to be. I think that is the essence of humility. It's not a bad self-image. It's actually a very powerful one. It's a freedom, isn't it? To be able to be detached and to realize that all of these things that you sort of viscerally desire in your life, they're not that necessary. I look into history and I think about how different the world might have been in the year 1517 if either Martin Luther or Pope Leo X had had any humility whatsoever. They didn't want to listen to each other. They each had their opinion and they knocked heads and would not even enter into dialogue. They did not believe that either of the other one had anything worth listening to. And then we come to the gospel today. Jesus is dining in the house of a Pharisee. So there's kind of, this is a complication, isn't it? The parable is about Jesus at a wedding feast and how you are to behave, right, at a wedding feast. But he's actually in the house of a Pharisee at the same time. So there's these two kind of conflicting narratives that are taking place. He's in the house of a Pharisee. I think we can assume he was not there as a fondly invited guest, right? Because Jesus was always speaking against them and they were always trying to find a way to trap him. So it's an uneasy situation, and yet he is there. Humility is Jesus' ability to realize that all of this is not about him. He focuses on the guests and the host. Once you realize that, you are able to look into the hearts of others and really care for them. Then Jesus directly addresses the Pharisee. Don't invite others because of their seeming outward value. Don't invite them because they might be able to return the favor and invite you. Instead, go out and invite to your table those who are unable to invite you, those who are uninvitable, those who are rejected and forgotten. Think about the contrast of Jesus going to a Pharisee's house and the critique the Pharisees had of Jesus when he would dine with sinners. Here he is at their house, right? Dining with sinners, it just identifies the absolute lack of humility with which the Pharisees might have recognized themselves as no better than the others. And yet, in their blindness, they considered themselves far better than the others. No more deserving than those Jesus referred to as the least of his brothers and sisters. So I came across what is called Mother Teresa's humility list. Humility list. And this is another insight into a saint's thoughts about humility. She numbers them. Number one, speak as little as possible about yourself. I love that one. Speak as little as possible about yourself. Two, keep busy with your own affairs and not those of others. Three, avoid curiosity. Four, do not interfere in the affairs of others. Five, accept small irritations with good humor. Six, Do not dwell on the faults of others. 7. Accept censures, even if unmerited. 8. Give in to the will of others. 9. Accept insults and injuries. 10. Accept contempt, being forgotten and disregarded. 11. Be courteous and delicate, even when provoked by someone. 12. Do not seek to be admired and loved. 13. Do not protect yourself behind your own dignity. 14. Give in discussion, even when you are right. 15. Choose always the more difficult task. And she continues, learn to be humble by doing all the humble work and doing it for Jesus. You cannot learn humility from books. You learn it by accepting humiliations. Humiliations are not meant to torture us. They are gifts from God. And it is in these moments, if we accept them with joy, that we will become holy, to have a meek and humble heart like Jesus has. I guess what we have in the gospel today is not a lesson in social etiquette, is it? It's the opportunity for us to recognize how we approach one another, how we consider ourselves, and where that fits into this larger picture of God's plan. We live in a world today where humility is really something very rare, I have to say. It's something that's very rare. It's something that I don't think would be considered a high value for a lot of people. And yet it is the only way to enter into a relationship or a dialogue with another, especially another person who has a different idea than you have. Without humility, we'll never learn what that is. And the whole point, I think, of relationship and dialogue is that we need to talk to one another because we esteem the goodness in that other person and we want to learn from them. We pray today that the Lord will make all of us holy through our humility.